you feel funny down your spine, the thought of having your own thought?
Therefore, it doesn't really remove the hairs effectively. Therefore, she doesn't pass. So there is some judgment and skill involved. But I think her judgment is impaired by the fact she feels nervous.
Yeah.
And is anxious not to overdo it and burn the time, because that's another way you'd fail again.
Yes, and have somebody sue you if it was bad enough.
I suppose if it was bad enough, but then you wouldn't be letting you lose more clients if you were that poor at it, because they do build you up very slowly.
Well, I'd be happy to give you the name of the particular ones, but I don't know whether it applies to these here, but homeopathic medicines, they usually want to know the colour of your eyes and that sort of thing. You know,
I bought odd things in the past and never actually been asked anything specific.
I'll ask June. It may not apply to everything, but I know in the past when she's given me various things to try for various aches and pains, she's got a book at home and it'll say particular.
Well, Liz said if I went into a decent homeopathic shop, they'd prescribe them and they'd tell me what to do.
Yeah. But she uses homeopathic treatments on the dog. The crisis at the moment. She went to the College of Veterinary Surgeons,
yes,
Wednesday, with her latest dog, because she's not jumping. You know, she just got the fifth dog. And she's had it some time now, but the whole purpose was to, so that she could train this one, because the first one now is too old, the second one has hip displacement and can't. And the second one was a sort of strain and never wanted to anyway. The third one has hip displacement. The fourth one is Paul's, and June wanted one to train. And she's had hip displacement
again.
Yes. So she can't, so she has five dogs she can't train.
Good God.
I should think she's on the tablet by today, because that will be.
I hope it means she doesn't buy any more dogs, but I fear the opposite.
Well, the one thing she can't do now is breed from them, so she has to have them spayed. I didn't know she planned to breed from them, but she must be spayed now. But it means she has five dogs to look after. And
has she not passed dogs on, or more like children than dogs?
Oh, yes, more like children than children, actually. The only thing that occurred to me, I just wondered if she knew somebody who had a dearly loved dog that didn't want to train it, but you know, she could perhaps just take along for the joy of running it and training it. But I think part of the pleasure is the reflected glory, you know, it's my dog.
Well, it's your dog,
yeah.
Right.
So I don't suppose
our department head at school has a beautiful collie, and they felt he was bored at home because there are quite a lot, although he's well trained. They felt he was bored, so they took him to training classes. And Tricia said he's an absolute natural. He goes up through the hoops, along the narrow. She said the first day, when all the others were standing there shaking at the narrow bar, he was just over it and down. And she said you've never seen him.
I mean, they do seem to thoroughly enjoy it. All of them do, but
they're not showing theirs or using it for any other purpose, just for the dog's benefit.
Yes, for enjoyment. I mean, June, she doesn't show them as such. It's all agility and obedience. Mm.
Good afternoon, good morning, I mean, Chris. Gosh, that's enthusiasm for a 50-ton order. Phone call from Singapore.
Do you want to keep that list of the jet bays? So I've got a similar thing in small format here.
I was just trying to remember whether they did Jones do at the Waldorf last year, the fence. But I've got a feeling they didn't. Because it was fairly that they didn't, because of the she did sent before the Naval War, and that wasn't a good thing. I thought they were perfectly acceptable. I'm surprised, in a way, that so many people commented adversely on them. Because they don't make a bad noise.
I think it's people who don't like transgender. Yeah, I think that's all you can say.
Oh, well. We are. There should be another order from Bestwell ready today.
Oh.
Hmm. One.
Are you going to ring Bill? Yes.
The other thing I'm wondering whether I should do, the Petroline order, which in fact blew on its first leg to Rome yesterday.
Yes.
It's only worth £500. We haven't insured it at all yet, which isn't a problem. Any reason the buyer says that they didn't receive or whatever, they're not going to pay. We don't have secure terms at all.
I think we've got to accept, Linda, that on that business we do not have secure terms, period.
Right, but should we insure it fully?
Not fully, for contingency.
Contingency, I thought, was just sort of between here and the airport.
Oh, no. No, no, no. That is what it is for. That is what it is. Contingency is if the customer, the buyer, having said he will cover the insurance, doesn't, and then doesn't get his money and doesn't pay us.
Right.
We can claim.
So, but if it was lost, we could still claim. We could claim. He couldn't, but we could.
Yes. Fine. Yes. Okay. Yes. We would probably have to prove that we had not been paid for the consignment.
Interesting.
Interesting possibility. But it's not covering from factory to airport or anything of that sort. It is definitely covering.
Us for the risk.
Yes.
But not the
yes. Because we can only take it on their word when they say we shall insure. I mean, we should be doing it for ours, shouldn't we?
I do it.
Right. Okay. But it doesn't matter very much one way or the other, does it?
What to them or to work?
It's cheaper. It's cheaper to us. The trouble with it is, of course, we never actually add it in, do we?
Yes, I do watch the cost, I do.
Do you? Okay. You bung it across to the customer?
Ah. I do if it's a CIF contract.
But if it's a CIF contract, you're not a contingency.
No, if it's contingency, no, I don't.
No.
But it's usually a very
small sum. It usually is a small sum. Great.
I do add it into the costings when I do the analysis. I thought that.
Yes.
We often don't know, do we?
No, that's true. That's great, true. Now, Richard rang me at 5 o'clock yesterday.
An old-fashioned half an hour.
Yes, he did say that he'd tried to ring before I got back from lunch. Not 100% certain, but it was 2:20 and I got back from lunch, I saw John at lunchtime, and I mentioned it to him because he said it hadn't even occurred to me till then, because he said I'm concentrating on the surveying side. I thought, to you, my friend, would you like Richard's work telephone number? No, I didn't, I'm afraid. No, I didn't. I didn't ask him. But he said, and I said, I gather you're seeing Linda the weekend. If you can find anything, perhaps you can pass it over. And John said, oh, it'll give me something to do. Yes, it is a bit desperate, isn't it? It sounds. You know, the Lewisham got themselves in a ludicrous state over people. Being pushed sideways into jobs that don't matter and being paid full price. I don't want to keep his number. Being paid their full salary.
Yeah.
you know, we don't want you anymore, so go and twiddle your thumbs in this corner, but they're still paying them $20,000 a year. Absolute farce.
Because I thought John had been put into a job that he was actually looking forward to and getting his teeth into.
Absolutely. But he's up against the fact that nobody wants to know what he's doing. Quality control, I mean, client satisfaction, things of that sort. I'm not quite sure what he's into. But being a local authority, they're saying, oh, come on, why make the effort?
I mean, sadly, that really was, in a sense, what making local authorities answerable was supposed to stamp out.
Yes, and of course, local government is the most wonderful procrastinator in the world, isn't it?
Yes, but if they truly were answerable for their own budget.
Oh, sure.
Which they're still not.
No, you know, that's right.
They never will be now.
That's absolutely right.
That's going to go on.
That's right. And that's going to be.
It doesn't benefit. I'm quite convinced that 99% of people do not actually enjoy sitting doing nothing. They like to feel useful.
Oh, absolutely.
So who does that benefit, apart from the fact they're getting a salary at the
Nobody.
End of the day?
Nobody. But when initially presented to you, here's $20,000 a year for doing nothing, my friend, it has an element of appeal, doesn't
well,
it?
Clearly you'd rather be doing that than doing
getting nothing for doing nothing.
Yeah. But why can't they get their act together and...
Yes, I know.
I suppose, at the end of the day, yes, you're right. People would rather sit pushing papers around pretending to be busy, but drawing a salary than being made redundant, which is what ought to be happening.
Yes.
But they could they surely must be able to do it through natural wastage to some extent.
I would have thought.
And all the time in the same job...
This guy's business, incidentally, they're now saying 400 jobs will go, but less than 100 will be made redundant. The other 300 will go through natural wastage.
Mm.
They said 600 originally, apparently, but then now they're talking 400. There were some rather naff comments by the union people. Cosy, God, what a bloody shower. On television last night, it was waffling about nothing and complaining they hadn't been told. They were
I honestly don't know what the answer is to the National Health Service. It's going to take years and years and years. But we will always be.
I think the guy's situation is a very interesting experiment. It's a shame it's going on under a microscope spotlight or whatever, but a spotlight, I mean, don't turn on a microscope. But even so, it's interesting. And guys need it, for goodness sake. Guys definitely need it.
If you look at all the nationalised industries that have been privatised, they're all making some great profits now. I wouldn't say, like the gas board, like BT, and I wouldn't say that we're being fleeced. I mean, I think we've always been fleeced up to a certain point. They were always making a loss in the past, so in spite of what
their accounting was cockeyed in commercial terms, Linda. It really was different accounting, which is hardly comparable. And I see nothing wrong with making decent profits, as long as you're not actually ripping people off as a monopoly.
Yes, I think it's a bit dubious what they do with the profits after.
Well, oh, that's a different matter. That is it, surely.
I mean, something like British Gas, to make the enormous profit that they've made, surely it must be possible to reduce the price to the consumer.
One would have thought so, yes.
And they can give you all sorts of reasons why they're
the best. I must say, I haven't read or heard anything about the British Gas thing.
Billions.
Oh, yes, I knew they made a lot of money, yes. But why and what they're going to do,
they
I don't know.
Justify why they're not going to reduce the price.
But in the South West Water Authority, or whatever they're called, also made a big profit, didn't they? But the guy said, well, 90% of this has got to be spent on a small proportion of the works which we are required to do over the next decade.
Well, that's fine. But, you know, if British Gas pollinate that into making themselves more efficient or whatever else it is, that's fine.
Yes. Yes, it's when you see British Telecom repainting all their vans with their silly new logo that you get a bit twitchy, don't you?
I think the health and society is a thing on the radio this morning about the length of waiting lists for operations and Rory about the fact that we've got to ring up and find where the shortest list is and that sort of nonsense. Which is a sensible thing to do in a way. Lots of people say, well, I don't mind waiting. Or whatever.
Norman on his wall has a list of theoretical waitings for the different specialists that all been in the hospital, and presumably he's got one beside it for Queen Mary's as well, so he can actually look at it and say, oh, well, Queen Mary's is the place for you to go, my friend.
And some people might say, oh, I don't want to go there, I'd rather wait.
That's right, absolutely. You know, it's going to work so it's happening already to some degree.
But they're never going to, I don't think they're ever going to get on top of the waiting list because they're introducing so many new operations.
That's right.
And there are people living longer and needing them. So it's always going
to
be.
You have got to have a waiting list to use the facilities reasonably fully.
Yes, otherwise you're going to have it
That's right.
sort of planning
going
on.
That's right.
How is that hip? Yeah. Shall we do it now? Right.
There's your jazz band leader.
Jeffrey. Is that really? Say,
that's his full-time job.
Look on the right. Why does he think he's a J-E-S-S? And he lives in...
He admits that it's a questionable area on the fringe. He's a bit of an oddball himself, though, you know. And I think it was his wife there last night, too. And she's a curious lady. I think it was his wife anyway. She went around with a pot at the end.
That's such an anomaly. He's effectively a surveyor.
Yes, he's a boom surveyor.
I mean, building surveyors don't wear clothes like that and play jazz bands.
Dressed all in black, dear.
Just gobsmacked, I think.
Yes. Incredible, isn't it? Yeah. Brave fellow, I'd say.
Yeah. I love the humour of the name, though.
Yes, it fits in rather well, doesn't it?
It's like the little terrace house called Bedlam at the end of
Talking of which, there's a house down Lower Camden which has the Chislehurst station sign.
Great big thing.
Stuck in their driveway. It's been there for ages and ages and ages.
Not a very clever thief, really.
No, I wouldn't have thought so either. Enormous great thing.
Soon they came upon it.
By the way,
I've heard it on Capital Radio. Now, how does it actually work?
You just say, please may I have my Argos card? And you take the card back next time and you put it in a machine and add more points to it.
And
record it electronically.
And where do you know, how do you know how many points?
You don't.
Oh.
The machine will no doubt tell you, but... and okay. For every £50 of petrol you get £1 for Argos.
Oh, that's not bad.
Well, considering I put £30 in to fill the tank yesterday,
you
get there quite quickly.
Mine takes £18 a time. Yeah.
And that you can just shove in your purse and...
So they put this through the machine.
They just put it in the machine and tap in the price.
They put this through their machine.
That's right, and read it off.
Right.
Yes.
So anyone can use it.
And it's a long-term promotion. It's going through to the end of next year or almost next year.
Is it just?
Yes. So you have a chance to actually build up something worthwhile. Well, my £30.70 gave me 63 pence or something. So what I say, £50.
£50
with the petrol gives you £1 off.
So presumably you have to do it.
Do what?
Well, it says you can collect up to 2,500 Premier points on your collecting card.
Then you get another card.
Then you get another card.
They've got stacks of cards there.
I think that's a jolly good idea.
Yes, I think it's fair.
And what I really need is another card for my purse.
National Trust I see there, which you never use.
Peugeot warranty.
Oh, fancy putting that on a plastic card.
Well, that's, no, it's a breakdown service.
Oh, is it?
Mm. My library ticket.
Oh.
Picture of Kate. Two Jeffrey Weekly tickets for the 13th of June. And a strip of stamps worth 15 cents each, which I might get. I really need is another credit card. And yesterday, I can never find my Visa card quickly. And I found my MasterCard first.
Yes.
And went to put it back, and I thought, oh, it doesn't matter, does it? You know, I just want a credit card. Gave it to the girl, and she went, oh, what's the credit limit on this? And I said, I haven't a clue, I've never used it. She said, well, I've got to write down the credit limit.
Oh, what's the credit limit on your Barclay card?
I think it's £50.
Before
they have to. No, it isn't my credit limit.
Well, yeah. What do you mean by credit limit? Do you mean as a cheque backing card?
What is your credit limit on this? And I haven't. I don't.
Were you paying by cheque?
Yes.
Well, it's not a cheque guarantee card anyway. That's not a cheque guarantee card.
But neither is Barclay card.
It is with Barclays, but I mean there's got to be a standard figure for the Barclay card. Anybody else's, my bank card has a figure on it. It actually has 50 quid on it or something of that sort.
I think it's £50, isn't it, with
irritated yesterday because I had a phone call from McBride.
Yeah.
A lady called from Gary Ralph saying we don't have the P11s. And I thought, oh, well, that's fair enough. And so I've dug them out and sent them to him. And after I'd stamped and sealed the envelopes, he rang back and he said, I haven't got the copy VAT certs either. I was not pleased at that. I mean, it wouldn't have occurred to me to send the P11s.
Actually, and that's not true either, because I sent the P11s to Stephen Matthews for his approval before we sent them off.
And he sent them back again?
I don't know who he sent them back. I sent him copies. I didn't send him the original, so I sent him copies.
Oh, right.
I doubt him.
Right. Oh, well, I've sent the ones from the drawer.
Fine.
Off. Said, I want them back.
Oh, right.
And he said, fine.
We haven't got copies.
No, that, well, you know, if there's a query in the next fortnight, we know where they are, don't we? But I was annoyed, and I thought, well, that's fair enough, because I wasn't aware that those particular documents were required by the accountants to sort things out.
But why were they required?
I don't know, I didn't ask him, but he said he required them. But I know that the copy VAT certs, VAT payment returns, that's what they're called, aren't they, are required, and Sylvia hadn't sent them. Down to our silver, that is.
Where were they?
Well, they're here in the drawer where they're kept. There's a VAT file in there, and that's where they get put. Bit silly, isn't it? This is an unhelpful thingy because it's winding that way, yet it looks as if it's winding that way, doesn't it?
What, onto the spool?
It looks
here?
As if it's wheeling onto that spool.
Yes. But it's reeling onto
it's
that
not,
one.
It's not. It's reeling through there.
Hmm.
Very confusing. And the fact so they've stuck that label on there doesn't help very much either.
So when it's full, you have to put another tape in. Does it
yes.
just click or does it?
I don't know. I thought it was actually reversed on the first side.
And do the other side.
Yes, and I thought it's mucking it up, so I just swapped it over the way it was. We shall see. We shall see. Well, it tells you quite a lot, but it doesn't actually mention that bit. I have got doodles of instructions here. It appears that on that walk, the pilgrimage walk, the BBC Songs of Praise television team were involved on all 4 days. They were at the start, they were at the finish, and both days in between. Alan Titchmarsh was doing the interview. And you might just see me in the background of one of the shots. I believe it's a special song of praise in the summer to do with pilgrimages. But Peter was saying what a good do it was, how it had all gone well.
How much did they make?
He doesn't know. He said we'd certainly broken even, but beyond that he's a long way. Well, I hope so too, but it wasn't the whole object of the exercise. Publicity for homelessness was part of the business. I know one lad said he'd only got £2 of sponsorship. I thought, well, you've done, looking at you, chum, you've done around the world to get £2. there were some fairly basic types on that walk. You know, you could well understand that they were homeless.
Yeah.
Hi, Susan, how are you?
Hello, Chris. Fine, thank you.
Good. Geared up for the haul?
Good night, you've got your sleeper on.
I have.
Can't play it today.
Yes, okay. Yes. Yes. You ready to go? Next week? Next Friday, you're good.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
It's a week away. She could be ready.
I've been washing at the moment.
I'm going to wear it all again before Friday.
I know. I'm going to hide it away though now. Yes. Can I borrow your photocopier, please?
With great pleasure. Yes. How many would you like?
Just one off that, please.
Right. Pleasure. Yeah, we've still got a few marks on here, haven't we, Linda?
Yeah.
Not many, but there are a few. The trouble is that this is a spotty original, too. There you are, Susan.
Okay. Don't worry too much, it's only you.
Yes, it's, these spots are on your original.
Yeah, that's okay, because that's a copy.
But we've added a few, you see, and we're concerned about the spotting.
It's only, it's a very rough thing.
It's what you need, anyway, isn't it? Was clear.
Yes, someone's doing that. I'm just wondering what she sent to the guy who asked, because the covers the P11D here.
I sent him the originals. P11s, not P11Ds.
Oh,
your records. Your double fold two-tone blue and white thingies, cards.
Deductions working sheets, those things.
Is that what they're called, yes. Are they called P11s?
Yeah, they are. I never knew that.
Well, they're a full record of all the deductions and so on and so forth, aren't they? Maybe there's no other full record. But I don't know. He didn't say it. I wasn't going to argue with him on it.
I thought it was PLMDs we were talking about. No. Oh, in that case, no, they haven't had those.
Yeah.
They've never, ever had those. They have never.
They seem to come up with something new every year, Linda.
I mean, I've been doing those for me ever since we've been on for a while.
Yes, quite.
How peculiar. Oh, well.
Yes, they would. They certainly would.
We haven't
had amendments to the error, I don't think. No. We haven't. And they're due next week. Yes, that error business has sort of got overlooked somewhat, overshadowed. Did you speak to Bill Sorrell?
No.
Sorry, you're going where? She enjoys Mars bar usually. And you could just sort of tuck it in here under her waistband. Save her swallowing it. Salt and vinegar lumps. Oh, that green looks really gorgeous with your colourful tracksuit, dear.
Well, what can I wear with it?
Yes. Yes.
I don't have a purple jacket.
Yeah, thank goodness for that. Bye. Come, Graham's playing golf again today, anyway. Oh, it's business. Amazing. Amazing. He's out officially currying favour.
Huh? Good.
Of course they are. Yes, I mean, it's really quite fascinating, that, isn't it? They are making the bank a lot of money. They're eating at Hemming Golf Club, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm. Jolly nice too.
He's playing with his bank manager, and third member of the party is the guy who is gold silversmith who makes ceremonial road.
Oh, who Graham's met before and has enjoyed.
Several times, I think.
Uh-huh.
Hello. I'd be grateful if you would, please. Linda Hulbert, H-U-L-B-E-R-T, and the phone, Redry. Do you want the phone number? You should. Okay. Yes, he looks like Sean Connery. I offered a caddy, but he wouldn't have it.
Linda, what a, yes, well, you'd be cramming his style, wouldn't you? Yes.
And he had a partner, an equal partner, who I don't know if Graham had met him, I think he had.
Mm-hmm.
Who was out playing golf fairly recently and just dropped dead, 48. Just killed over and died, so I'm amazed this guy's.
I hope it wasn't on the green.
So do I.
Dent the turf. Oh, gosh. Hope he didn't bleed or anything like that.
I think it's quite a clean course, from what I gather. I would have thought it would have put his partner off of playing golf for fun.
Yes, you'd have thought so, wouldn't you? Still, I mean, many men would say, what a way to go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I think a far better way to go than that. But who knows, I might even get a chance to try one of these days.
As long as you don't dive with bells on your ankle, that's just too humiliating.
Well, at least I insist they bury me with bells on my ankles then. Now, you did bring a very good point there, Linda, which was that, what was it?
Extensions to the old seeds for air or air.
Yes, absolutely.
I can't even remember what Bushy said last. Let's see if I can find that last.
I would have thought that heat would have been down to slightly more, less grunty proportions, yes.
too many orders, Linda. Incidentally, did you not say that Graham's bank manager had said to him some months ago that they were the only healthy company on his books?
Yeah.
Sorry.
He's
now got no healthy companies on his books.
They made a profit of 86. They have made a profit of 86,000 to date in January. So things aren't that bad.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
I do wish Graham was allowed to get that company by the scruff of its neck properly, i.e., sack Bernard.
Benjamin. Leslie, who is now 17 stone or something, but he's a twin baby. Still determined to come back to work, and Graham's saying, you know, I've got plans for you, I'd like to do this and that. And I said, please, for everybody's sake, don't make plans for Lizzie. She is going to drive you crazy. Even if she comes back to work, even if she's got her twins sorted out, one, they're going to keep her awake all night for years, she's crabby at the best of times. Secondly, her help is not going to be there 100% of the time. She's going to ring you constantly saying, I can't come in today, Mrs. So and so not able to do this or that. You know, with one baby it's bad enough, but with two.
Yes.
And to give Leslie a new job of responsibility is going to drive Graham crazy. Nobody's fault, it's just unless I'm very wrong.
Did he accept what you said?
Without the twins, I think she would have been good for any new job because she is a total company lady.
Certainly committed. I mean, she's not terribly with it in dealing with customers, is she?
She falls out with people a lot. I think she's not bad with customers because she sympathises with customers. She's very cross with the employees, which is what Graham should be doing with.
Yes.
But once she has twin maids, she'll be menopausal as well, by then. I think she's going for a very rough ride.
How old is she?
Pushing 40, I think. I mean, her hormones are going to be in a right old state after giving birth to twins.
Yes, I think that's, yes. Jingle, jangle. Yes, I'm glad I don't have to deal with her.